As they do that, I invite you as well to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 17 and verses 11 through 19. Y'all are still blurry, okay? I see you now. There you go. They may have to give me some new glasses. I don't know, sir. But I've been having a hard time reading the scripture, and it's all right as long as I do this right now. I can see. I've got those progressive lenses and have had them for years. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. This is probably, for many of you, a very familiar scripture. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." The word of God for the people of God. Amen. Just an interesting note. Jesus knows everything, doesn't he? He knows all things. He knew that the other 9 did not return to give thanks, but he states that for us for a reason. And I hope that we see that reason in what the one did and why Jesus separates why it is important to give thanks unto the Lord. I like watching some of those restoration shows, those car restoration shows. There's a guy that's at the church at Liberty Hill Global Methodist Church that visiting there. He's been on some of those magazines that display those restored cars. A nationally known person for doing that kind of thing. To me, it's real neat to see an old car. Maybe like a 1950 Chevy or a 1967 Corvette or something like that, and they take it and they restore it back to its wondrous beauty and put the color, the right parts that are broken down, either fix new parts or order new parts or whatever, and they put it together and it's as brand new once again. Or whether it's a Coke machine or Tonka toys, to me, it's interesting to watch how people can do that. I can't do that. I would have a hard time putting Legos together with the instructions. David did those better than me. I had to kind of follow his instructions a little bit. But it's neat that they have that vision and they can see. God has that vision for you and me. He can see how to restore us, our broken relationship with Him, and give new life to us, forgiving us of our sin and our brokenness and our separation from Him, and righting that relationship once again with Him. He restores us, and this is why we give thanks and praise unto God. This isn't a story so much about physical healing as it is about spiritual healing. That's what we need to listen to for the difference here. The one who comes back and gives thanks and praise to God has received physical healing, but in his return to give thanks to God, he has received spiritual healing, which is the greater thing that takes place. And that's what is important when we approach Thanksgiving in this Thanksgiving season. Really, I think like Milton was saying, you know, this song is really an everyday song. Thanksgiving is an everyday thing, just like the birth of Christ is an everyday gift from God. Just like Jesus rising from the grave is an everyday gift from God. We come and worship on Sunday, but in reality, we worship God every day. We give thanks to Him in good and bad in everything and every day. Now, sometimes we let that thing called sin creep in, or doubt, or disappointment, or discouragement, and we let the things that happen around us discourage us. But God is telling us in good and bad, we should give thanks unto Him. We should return and give thanks to Him in all things. That doesn't mean to be excited about the bad things that happen to us. No, God isn't wanting us to do that. But in the midst of those trials and those things that are occurring in our lives, that we can still give praise, not just in good times, but even in bad times as well. And sometimes we get so wrapped up in the good times, we forget to give thanks to God. And God wants us to give thanks unto Him. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Why did Jesus say to this leper who's now healed? He says to him, what? Rise and go, your faith has made you well. Well, he's rising because the scripture says, have already told us that he comes before Jesus praising God in a loud voice, and he threw himself at Jesus' feet. Threw himself at Jesus' feet. How do you throw yourself at someone's feet? Think about it. You get down slowly. I mean, let's think he's at the age he's got good knees and a good back and all of that kind of stuff. And he's going to throw himself. It's kind of like Pete Rose sliding into home when there's no catcher there, of course. You know, just sliding into home base. I mean, there's an excitement. It's like just going forth. And he is, get the word right, prostrate, okay? I always have to worry about that word. He's prostrate on the ground at Jesus' feet. Remember, he didn't even want to get close to him before. He stood off because he didn't want to make Jesus unclean, unholy. And so he stood off. He accepted that in that moment, that he was an unclean person, unaccepted by God, that somehow he had sinned. The whole culture was saying to him, it is your sin that has brought this leprosy upon you and defines your relationship with God. And so now he has seen that he has been healed while going to the priest. And he doesn't keep going to the priest like the other nine. He returns and gives thanks, and he is no longer afraid about being close to Jesus. He's close. Jesus is probably standing like this and looking at him. Jesus has perfect eyes, though. He's looking at him. And then he explains all this stuff. Where are the other nine? This guy's just praising God. He's at Jesus' feet. Where are the other nine? He's saying that for us to hear. Where are we? Are we like this person at Jesus' feet? or are we more concerned about the social constructs of the world? See, the other nine went on to the priest because they wanted to be accepted back into the community. They could only be accepted back into the community if the priest gave the okay that, hey, you're now clean. You are blessed by God. Therefore, you can return. Quit. You don't have to go back to that ostracized place where you came from. You can touch other people. You can pat them on the shoulder and so forth. You're made clean. They were concerned about that, but that was temporary, you see. This one knew something different had happened, and he returned to give thanks to God. That's all we can do, is give thanks to God. We can't add anything to our relationship to God to make it right. You can't go, well, I'll attend church 1,200 times in my lifetime. I'll sing in the choir. I'll read the Bible daily. I'll go and sit, you know, with people in the nursing home. I'll go and do all sorts of things. I'll feed the hungry. I'll do all these things. None of those things add to our salvation. That's what this person knew. I can't add anything. How many of you have watched the show The Big Bang Theory? Yeah, several of you? Well, it's about these extremely smart guys, that nerdy kind of guys, socially awkward kind of guys, and there's this gorgeous girl that lives across their hallway. And so this one person in his relationship with this girl, which is purely platonic, trying to be a friend, gives him a birthday gift or a Christmas gift or something along those lines. And he's like, oh, no gifts. And they're all kind of stressed out about Sheldon now, because Sheldon, is worried about what kind of gift do I get Penny. That's the girl that's across the hall there. And so he's worried about giving something of reciprocal equal value. And so she insists on giving him a gift, and so he goes and he worries and stresses about it, and he finally picks up about 7 gift baskets, all of different values, and he thinks, okay, whatever she gives me, I'll open it first, and then I'll see what she's given me, and I'll go back to my bedroom where all these gifts are, and I'll pick out one that's of the reciprocal value and bring out. Well, she brings him a gift of a napkin from the restaurant, and he thinks, well, it's just a napkin. And she goes, no. It's a napkin that Leonard Nimoy used, and he signed it, and he wiped his mouth with it. And Sheldon, who is a Leonard Nimoy Star Trek fan, just starts shaking. Oh, you know, how great this gift. For him, this was the greatest gift. It had the greatest value. And then it's like he's just overwhelmed. And so he goes, he then realizes he's got to give a gift of reciprocal value. And so he runs back to the bedroom, and you think he's going to bring something out. No, he brings all of them out, and he lays them at her feet and says, I know this is not enough. All of them. And then he does something that, in this person's view, is not, it's socially awkward. He doesn't hug people. And so he offers a hug to her. And it's this awkward hug, you know. You see, he couldn't return in his mind what was something of equal value. Y'all, we can't return to Jesus anything of equal value. All he wants is for us in our own heart to say, thank you. Thank you for saving me. All the other stuff, they're good things to do. But they don't add to our salvation. They're good things to do, and we want to do it, and I want to encourage you to do those things. But the main thing, even as we approach Thanksgiving, is to do what? Just give thanks unto the Lord. Thanksgiving, Abraham Lincoln established a national holiday of Thanksgiving in 1863. What was going on in 1863? Civil War. There were more people who died in the Civil War than in the Korean War on America's side, or the Vietnam War, or World War I. More people died in the Civil War on both sides. And the population was far less than it is during those times in the nation. Not one family. It would be hard to find even one family in this nation that was not affected directly by death or harm or financial ruin of some kind or distress. So why in the middle of the Civil War does Abraham Lincoln determine we need Thanksgiving? The war is not decided at this point. There's still two more years. In 1863, I think he does this. I think he does this to give hope to a nation and in hopes of healing. That there will be an end to this. And we got to place ourselves in a position of giving thanks unto God even now in preparation and hope for what will be. And I think that's for a nation, for slave and free, for the South as well as the North. This is great wisdom on his part. Now, this is different than when George Washington, our first president, established a Thanksgiving. Not as necessarily as a national holiday, but established a Thanksgiving, and he called it a fasting and Thanksgiving in 1789. Now, this was determined after the Revolution was over. And it was done so as a celebration, as a thankfulness for what the nation had gone through. You see, that's different, isn't it? How many of you experienced bad things in your life? How many of you grieve at this time of year because of death that has happened last year, this past year, or years ago? It's hard, isn't it? Especially around the holidays when families get together. It's hard, isn't it? But God is saying, give thanks in good and bad. Give thanks. For the things that truly matter are things that give us hope and faith and joy and peace that can be eternal. I'm not talking just about death that may happen in family. There's lots of things. Lots of things that may happen in your life that bring disappointment. I mean, Amy and I had an interesting week this week. Her car decided to break down. Then my car decided to break down. And we went, you know. We didn't give up. We didn't give up hope. I think your car cranks now. And my car's working. But still, that seems kind of shallow, I know. But there's things that happen that really are hard for people, hard for you. But even in the midst of that, give thanks. I'm going to get the date wrong here. 1621, I believe, or 29, or whatever the date was when the Mayflower came over. Thank you. So in 1621, just need an educator to get me correct on that. In 1620, and then 1621, half the people died before the spring. Half. That's reason to be just despondent, isn't it? If we think along how the world may think, let's just give up. But they came over in part so that for religious freedom to be able to worship God freely. But thank God that they were able to form some kind of relationship with the Indian tribe that was around them, who taught them how to grow the crops and how to hunt in the forest and what was poisonous and what was good to eat and so on and so forth, and how to take sap out of the trees and on and on. And they had this feast that lasted for like 3 days where they gathered together, and deer were killed, and there might not have been turkey on the plate. I don't know. You know, we kind of generalize that this day, but they were celebrating even though half the people had died. And there was no necessarily that everything was going to be all right, but they celebrated. Even in the midst of devastation, that God was still with them. They gave thanks and praise for what they had. Folks, it's important for us to give thanks to God for what we have. But even to give thanks and praise to God for what we don't have. But also to give thanks and praise to God for what He has given us in relationship to Him. We can choose in this time to be bitter, or we can let the church make us better, and we can give praise unto God. A 26-year-old mother of three, very young in their marriage, life ahead of them. Her husband was on a tractor in a parade. And undoubtedly, the bucket part of the truck hit a live wire. Instant death. And she was left with three children, small children. No income. What to do? And she said, I can choose to either get bitter or I can get better through the church. That's giving thanks even in a terrible, heart-wrenching situation. So what happened to the nine? They lost out on what really mattered. They didn't return and give thanks to the one who could truly heal them spiritually. And only the one who was the ostracized beyond ostracized returned and gave thanks, and who was truly healed forever and ever. I hope those other nine found their way to what true thanksgiving and relationship with God is. that true restoration. I don't know that. We don't hear that in the story. But at this point, those nine lost out. They chose to be lost out. But that one chose to come and give thanks unto the Lord. Our group in this church, we've gone and we visit folks from time to time. Elaine Hall, devoted member of this church. I sat next to her in choir up here 6-7 years ago. We'd joke some. Everybody in the choir would joke with her. She liked to sing songs. And it was heartbreaking for us to see over the last several years her mind totally and begin to start that process of going away. We could see it. And she might have known it somewhat. I'm thankful for people in this church that when she ran into the granite sign that we have out front, you know, she was already in that place where her cognition just wasn't working right. I know Cecil was here on the spot and others, and Michelle, you even went right with her to the hospital. We grieve her today. But we also celebrate her life. She's with God, right? God has been faithful to her. She has a right relationship with God. On one of those visits, and I'm touched by this, she was asking, and it took us a while to understand, but she was asking, she wanted me to sing "How Great Thou Art." Not to me, but that was her before God Almighty saying, "I want to sing a praise unto you." Even in that place where she really had no hope of getting out of, "How Great Thou Art" was a praise song unto the Lord. So as we gather for Thanksgiving, some of us may be alone. Some of us may gather with family. Some of us may have a great spread. Some of us may go to Golden Corral or something. Let us give thanks unto the Lord. So some of y'all going to Golden Corral? No, it does happen now. But what is important is that we give thanks to God, just like this one leper who returned and gave thanks unto the Lord and received the restoration, not just of body, but of soul. Let us pray. Gracious Father, Lord, we thank you and we praise your holy name. Bless us this day. And even in the midst of good and bad, even in the midst of good and bad circumstances or events in our lives, we will give you praise, glory, and honor. And let nothing nor trophy nor recognition nor lack thereof take us away from praising you. Bless our families, bless this congregation, family of Christian believers, whether it's people who have been here for a few short weeks or people who have been here for 50 plus years. And bless this community, O God, to give thanks and praise unto you, a nation to give thanks and praise to you. And may this land be filled with revival, because we know that salvation comes from the Lord. May we, O God, fall prostrate at your feet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our closing hymn today is number 92. If you can stand and join with us, please. Number 92.
For the beauty of the earth, for the glory of the skies, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For the beauty of each hour, of the day and of the night, hill and dale and tree and flower, sun and moon and stars of light, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our song of grateful praise. For the joy of ear and eye, for the heart and mind's delight, for the mystic harmony linking sins to sound and sight, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For the joy of human love, brother, sister, parent, child, friends on earth and friends above, for all gentle thoughts and mild, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymns of grateful praise. For thy church that evermore lifteth holy hands above, offering up on every shore her pure sacrifice of love, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For thyself, best gift divine, to the world so freely given, for thy great, great love of thine, peace on earth and joy in heaven, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise.
Happy Thanksgiving to you all. Well, that's fine. As I mentioned earlier, we're headed down to Florida, but you can always reach me on the phone, all right? I'm always available that way. But happy Thanksgiving to you all. And also remember, come back at 4 o'clock. We need you. We need to decorate. Next week, we'll have the Advent wreath out here and all the decorations of Christmas, and won't that be beautiful. Go forth in His peace, now and forever. Amen. Hey. Good to see you once again.
They're saying record-breaking travels.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Wow. So make sure you take advantage of any bypass. The roads have been a wreck on the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah, good luck.
Yes. I hope we leave early enough.
Yeah.
We're going on Tuesday. Wednesday's usually the worst, but even Tuesday will be bad. I mean,
St. Yeah. Thomas.
Yeah. Yes, thank you.
Be very careful.